The Brexit clock is ticking. The UK is scheduled to leave the European Union later this month. And this week, the UK Parliament will take a key step in determining how that actually happens. With me for our weekly look at some of the top international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. And Rob, what's happening this week in London as it relates to Brexit?
Well, Mark, the UK and EU hammered out an agreement on Britain's withdrawal from the bloc last year, and that withdrawal is due to go ahead on 29th of March, 18 days from now. But the agreement was approved by Europe and the UK government. It was not agreed by the UK Parliament. And indeed, when it was put to Parliament in January, it was overwhelmingly defeated. So back in January, after that defeat, our Prime Minister Theresa May promised to take her deal back to the EU and get some changes made. Now, though, as far as we know, those changes have not been agreed, meaning that when Parliament gets to vote on this again tomorrow, Tuesday, we're expecting, unless something dramatic happens, a similar result. In other words, a rejection of the deal.
Well, what happens if that deal is voted down again?
Well, if the government wins the vote, then we proceed to exiting the EU on the 29th of March. But if the government loses the vote, as expected, then the Prime Minister says she'll return to Parliament on Wednesday, the day after, and offer Parliament a vote on whether to accept a no-deal Brexit. In other words, give Parliament the chance, or MPs the chance, to rule out Britain leaving with no deal at all at the end of March. And I should say there is a majority in Parliament against a no-deal exit.
So, Rob, that's expected tomorrow. Also tomorrow, a significant anniversary, one that's influenced pretty much everybody's lives, the creation of the World Wide Web.
Yes, it was 30 years ago that Tim Berners-Lee wrote up a proposal for a unified system that would allow research computers to communicate with each other. Now, the idea included three bits of tech speak that have entered our daily speech, URLs, HTTP, and HTML, although most of us can't really explain what those actually are. Berners-Lee originally wanted to call his idea a mesh, but later settled on the term World Wide Web. And I should add, his supervisor returned his paper with the note, vague but exciting.
But Rob, Tim Berners-Lee hasn't been entirely satisfied with the way his idea turned out, has he?
No, he's regularly speaking out against how the World Wide Web has been used. Here he is talking to the BBC last year on the lack of access to the web around the world, as well as cyberbullying.
It would be nice if I could just say, well, actually, the key thing is getting internet access to poor people in sub-Saharan Africa. It would be nice if I could say the key thing is bullying online. But actually, we've got two huge heaps of things. One heap of things is getting all the things involved in getting internet to the other half of the world. And then the other heap of things is we've got people who have the web, but they end up using it to be just joining groups where they just get a kick out of really being really nasty to people, and on a social network that hasn't yet figured out how to stop them.
Tim Berners-Lee there.
Rob, okay, let's talk about one other anniversary this week. This comes up on Friday. It's also affected millions of lives, but not in a positive way. It's the beginning of protests against the president of Syria, protests that turned into a civil war.
Yes, Mark. Well, it was 8 years ago on Friday. Protesters took to the streets in a city in the south of Syria. Those protests soon spread across the country. And of course, this was the time of the Arab Spring. So we had Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, all of them were experiencing popular revolts. The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones filed this report in April of 2011.
Protesters in the central town of Talbisa taking cover and taking casualties. These unverified pictures have been posted on the internet by opposition activists. Images from all over the country tell the same story. The protesters demand more freedom, and sometimes the soldiers respond with force.
Owen Bennett-Jones there.
Now, Rob, the civil war appears to be winding down. Bashar al-Assad still in power, but the human cost of this conflict has just been astounding.
Yes, it has. Really astounding. At least 500,000 people have been killed or are missing. And the numbers of refugees are likewise shocking. Up to half the country has been forced to move. 6 million of them within Syria, and nearly as many have fled the country altogether. Some of them are in Turkey, Lebanon or Jordan. A smaller number have come to Europe, with up to 500,000 in Germany alone. So how many of them will return when the conflict eventually ends? Well, of course, that's an open question.
All right, that's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.